Batteries?
Yeah.
We have a few batteries, yeah. Okay, now. Okay, ready for our next talk. Next talk's by Mariam, and she's going to talk about, give us a hybrid networking stack demo. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Mariam Tahan. I'm a software engineer at Red Hat, and today I'm going to talk to you about a concept I've been researching, and I've coined hybrid networking stack. So if anybody has better names as well, I'm open to a suggestion. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to introduce what a hybrid networking stack is. We're going to talk a little bit about an open source project called Cloud Native Data Plane, or CNDP, that gives us an example of such a networking stack, or at least some components of it. We're going to have a live demo with a star there because we're going to cross our fingers and toes and pray that it all goes to plan. After that, I will try and sum up what we discussed, and hopefully there'll be some time for Q&A at the end. Okay, so what is a hybrid networking stack? Well, it's actually a networking stack for applications that want to take advantage of the XDP hook and AFXDP in particular, without having to re-implement the full networking stack in user space, but rather lean on the existing Linux stack. It relies very heavily on the concept of control plane and user plane separation. And so parts of the stack can run in user space, and other parts of the stack can run in the kernel. And even if they're part of the control plane, they can run either in kernel or user space. And the same for the user plane aspect. You can run stuff either in the kernel or in user space as part of that networking stack concept. This concept relies very heavily on the principle of classifying traffic into application-specific traffic and non-application-specific traffic. And application-specific traffic is redirected to the user plane, and non-application-specific traffic is redirected to the control plane to be handled. So in that way, applications only really need to process the types of traffic that they're interested in. And what's really important then is that you filter this type of traffic as early as possible in your networking stack. So if your NIC hardware supports that filtering, you can take advantage of that. If it doesn't, then you can always rely on eBPF at the XDP hook to be able to do that level of filtering for you. So in the example I'm showing here on the slide, you can probably consider FRR and the Linux networking stack, the control plane. FRR is just an open source routing protocol suite that's for Linux. And then on the user plane side, you would consider the CNET graph from CNDP, your data plane or user plane for this demo. The CNET stack that comes with CNDP, I'll just talk about it for a minute before we dive into the next topic, is based on the graph architecture from VPP. So with VPP, the concept was that you could build your whole application or parts of the stack that you want to leverage using a graph, and then your packets are processed by traversing each node in this graph, and they're processed in batches as well to keep your instruction cache relatively warm, and you got all the performance benefits from doing all of that good stuff. So the CNET stack is based on the exact same concept as that, and obviously, as your packets traverse the nodes, they're either terminated as part of that stack, they're either forwarded on, or they're dropped, depending on the decision that was determined previously by the control plane piece for your application. So let me introduce CNDP to you folks. CNDP, or Cloud Native Data Plane, is an open source framework for cloud native packet processing applications. It's actually built on the performance principles of VPP and EPDK, but it doesn't have any of the resource demands or constraints, as it's completely abstracted from the underlying infrastructure. It actually is completely written using standard Linux libraries also. So what CNDP gives you is really three things. The first thing it gives you is a set of user space libraries for accelerating packet processing for your application, cloud application or service. The second thing that CNDP gives you is that CNET graph as part of the hybrid networking stack, and also a netlink agent that's capable of communicating with the kernel to retrieve relevant information like routing information and so on. And the last thing that CNDP gives you are the Kubernetes components to be able to provision and manage actually more so an AFXDP deployment than just a CNDP one. Those components are the AFXDP device plugin, which provisions the net devs that you want to use for AFXDP and advertises them up to Kubernetes as a resource pool that your pods can then request when they come up. And then you have the AFXDP CNI, which essentially plumbs your AFXDP netdev from the host network namespace into the pod network namespace. So just one last point on CNDP before we move on is that it actually supports multiple IO packet IO backends, not just AFXDP, but for the purposes of this hybrid networking stack, we've focused in on AFXDP itself. Okay, so it's nearly demo time. So, excuse me. So what am I going to show you? I'm actually going to show you CNDP FRR vRouter that we built. Originally, I set out to see, could I build some sort of a hybrid networking stack application that could accomplish, DPDK-like speeds, but leverage completely, kernel smarts. And so the scenario we came up with was that we would have two clients, client one and client two, residing in two different networks, network one and network three. And they're interconnected via a pair of vRouters, which learn routes using OSPF. So what the demo is going to be is we're actually going to bring up four Docker containers, client one, CNDP FRR one. We actually call this container CNDP FRR2, but for the purposes of the demo, I'm only going to run FRR in it just to show full interworking. And client 2 will then be our last Docker container. At the start of the demo, we're just going to bring everything up. No FRR will be running, no CNET stack will be running. And so when we try to bring from client 2 to client 1, we're going to see nothing happen. And then we're going to bring up all the components in part, see the routes being learnt. Hopefully have a successful ping and maybe even run an iperf session between client one and client two also. So if we just zoom into this CNDP FRR node for 1 second, I just want to show you one thing, I guess. So we can see here it's going to have two VEth interfaces, one connected to net one and the other connected to net two, and these are here. We're going to inject an eBPF program on the XDP hook that's going to filter all UDP traffic to CNET graph and non-UDP traffic to the Linux networking stack. So actually, one of the other things I'm going to show you is that we're not going to see ICMP traffic traverse through CNET. And then when we run iperf with UDP traffic, we're going to see the actual traffic flow through CNET also. So here we go. let's just check that we have nothing running. Yep, that's fine. And I presume everybody can see the text. OK, cool. Okay. So all the script is doing is setting up the four containers and the relevant networking between them right now. We can ignore the permission denied. We pretend we didn't see that for now. So we actually see we have four Docker containers here, client one, client two, CNDP FRR1, and CNDP FRR2. And if we try to ping, from client two, so we're going to ping client one from client two. Essentially, nothing happens. Okay, so let's start up our FRR agent on CNDP FRR1 as well as the CNET graph, okay? So, sorry about the formatting. It looked a lot better when I wasn't presenting. But the key part here is if we try and check the roots, what we see is the two net devs that are attached to CNDP or the CNDP FRR1 vRouter. But most importantly, we just see network one and network two. So let's start up the FRR agent on this node. So if we have a look at the information that's been set up so far, we can see this vRouter has an IP address. It's adding network one and network two to the same OSPF area. And if we try to show IP OSPF neighbor at this point, it hasn't learned anything because we haven't started FR on the other vRouter. So let's go ahead and do that. And here, this vRouter has an IP address and is adding network two and network three to the same OSPF area. And if we show the OSPF neighbor, ta-da, it's picked up its opposite end of the vRouter. And if we do the same on this CNDP FRR1, it's also learned, it's learned about the other route via OSPF as well. So at this point, if we actually try to ping again from client two to client one, we can ping. And actually, if we check the routes on CNDP, we have the new network three added in. And just to show you that no traffic is flowing through CNDP yet, this is ETH zero stats for RX and TX. We see they're still zero, and the same for ETH one. So let's kill that off for the moment and try and run an iPerf UDP session between client one and client two. And this time we should see traffic flow through the CNET graph. And if we check here, you can see an increment in the stats. And this doesn't show as nice as I hope. It's killed the app. Let's try it one more time. Unfortunately, I won't be able to get this right just yet. Oh, there we go. Okay, let's try and run it one more time. Sorry, folks, bear with me. So we can see, sort of, IP4 input node at the top here, and IP4 forward node, and they're passing UDP traffic through those nodes. Now, we're not going to the UDP nodes that are listed there, because obviously traffic isn't destined for the CNDP FRR vRouter. They're destined for the client attached to it, and that's why they're forwarded on. Applications can also, you know, hook onto the CNET graph via a socket-like architecture. All the function calls look exactly the same like a socket, except it's just called a channel, and you prefix all of your normal socket calls with channel underscore before hooking up into the CNET graph. So that's the demo. So the next step was to essentially take that CNDP FRR router and put it through a heck of a lot of permutations in terms of interfaces that we hooked it up to, leveraging things like XDP redirect between the two vRouter instances and so on, to try and see, you know, what kind of levels of performance could we push this to. And so what we noticed was for AFXDP, the performance is completely dependent on the deployment scenario. So for north-south traffic that was, you know, coming in on a physical interface or out of a physical interface, with AFXDP in native mode, so hooked in at the XDP hook, we actually had this example yielded comparable performance to DPDK. However, Wormy moved to something that was completely local to a node, so east-west type traffic with all virtual interfaces and AFXDP. While the performance was still better than vanilla VETH for AFXDP in native mode, it wasn't what we had expected it to be. So there's definitely some level of optimization that we need to look into on that front. And then we tried one other thing, which is AFXDP in generic mode. So that's your program hooked in at the TC hook. And that actually yielded a better performance than native mode. But again, that goes into some optimization requirements are needed on that front. So just to sum up, I guess, you know, we set out to show, was it possible to build some sort of a hybrid networking stack? I think, you know, the building blocks are there for sure. I think we've demonstrated that it is possible to do something like that, especially for these high performance use cases that want to take advantage of in-kernel fast paths and essentially XDP and AFXDP. There's obviously an opportunity as well to make sure that we hook in eBPF a lot more into the puzzle, especially from the user plane aspect. Not everything has to go into user space and so on. So I just want to summarize in terms of generic challenges that we have noted for AFXDP. The first one is that we still can't take advantage of hardware offloads. It's been great to see the XDP hints kfunc support getting merged into the Linux kernel, or at least agreed on as a model and then merged, which has been fantastic. And it'll form a great cornerstone for a lot of this work. The only thing that I would ask is that we make sure that for the containerized environment, you know, we put the onus on the infrastructure to lifecycle manage the BPF programs and to take that level of responsibility and privilege out of the scope of the application. So the application doesn't need to know any special formats or have to, especially if they're using AFXDP, they don't need to know any special formats or have to do special compilations of BPF programs or anything along those lines. That should all be managed on the infra side. The next thing that's been a gap was really jumbo frame or multi-buffer support for AFXDP, but we've seen lots of activity on that in the last couple of months on the mailing list, so hopefully that's something that we can tick off the list very, very soon. And lastly, there's going to be some need for some level of optimization of AFXDP in native mode for VETHs. And just some links for folks if they're interested on some of the stuff that we used this project, or this for this talk, sorry. So thank you very much, folks, for your time. I really appreciate it. And it's been a pleasure presenting at my first FOSDEM. It's like a bucket list item ticked off there. So thanks a lot.
Thank you for the talk. We do have ample time for questions.
Thank you for your presentation. I have a question about XDP. So does it run on hardware or is it in software?
XDP hook itself is typically supported by the drivers. I think there's a good host of drivers that support them right now, most of the Intel ones, a good few of the Mellanox ones as well. The thing with AFXDP is if the hook isn't natively supported by the driver, it automatically falls back to the TC hook, which is what we call generic mode, and it'll still work there, except that you don't get the raw buffer from the driver. You will essentially be working with the equivalent of an SKB. So there's some level of allocation and copy that happens there before you can process the packet.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
More questions? Okay, then, thank you for the talk. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.